So, it says in John chapter 4, Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, take that on board, Jesus did not float along with warp drive. Jesus got tired, and he sat down at the well. It was about 6 in the evening. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. That's a simple sentence, isn't it? But wow, what a lot is contained in that sentence. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone into town to buy food. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" she asked him. He opened a can of worms, didn't he? What a can of worms. "Give me a drink." "What? You, a man, a Jew, talk to me, a Samaritan woman?" It didn't happen. It did not happen. Culturally, it did not happen. But Jesus spoke to her. Jesus had lined this all up very carefully. Because what he now said to her was, if you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would ask him, and he would give you living water. So she goes on and she says to him, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. Are you telling me that you are greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock?" Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up from within him to eternal life." "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me this water, so I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water." "Go tell your husband," he told her, "and come back here." "I don't have a husband," she answered. "You have correctly said, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus said, "for you've had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you are a prophet." And then it says, she left her water pot, went into town and told the men, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. When I was a kid in Sunday school, there was such a thing. And there was also a Wednesday night thing at 6 o'clock called Sunshine Corner. And in both of them, we used to sing a song. A woman came to fill her water pot down at the bottom of a well. But Jesus gave her water which was not down at the bottom of the well. You can't sing it now because it then goes, she went away happy and gay. And it's amazing what we used to sing. But you know, this woman was not your average sort of woman. Firstly, she was a foreigner. And the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. You've got to remember that historically, there used to be one nation and the Samaritans split off, big rebellion, got their own king, and they stopped worshipping Jehovah God, and they set up golden idols, and they used to go and worship them. So there was a lot of an issue between the two nations. And in those days, at the turn of the turn from BC to AD, around the year zero, life expectancy for a man was 41. So that's why when Jesus started his ministry when he was 30, he was recognized as a rabbi, as an elder. Because when you're 30 and 41 is life expectancy, you are an elder. And so this woman could conceivably have lost a husband to sickness, a second husband perhaps, but not five. There's got to be something else going on here. And she was now living with a man who wasn't a husband. So she'd had at least six men in her life. And Jesus is talking to her. Well, this is exactly why the Jews were told not to talk to Samaritans and told not to talk to women. You don't talk to women, you don't know. They might want to seduce you. They might be after you. Don't talk to women. The subject will always get on to... Don't talk to women. And seriously, there was that... So you can't have men and women talking alone. I mean, if there was ever going to be a relationship, the Jews would have someone come alongside you to be the person who was always watching. The person who kept an eye on you and made sure nothing went wrong. And, you know, it was normal in those days. So a man... But Jesus, talking to this woman, didn't he know what sort of a woman she was? Of course, that's why he talked to her. Because, you see, Jesus isn't for Miss Goody Two-Shoes. Jesus isn't for people who are fabulous, wonderful people, holy people. Jesus is not just for Mother Teresa. Jesus is for everybody. And Jesus wanted this woman to know that he knew and he still wanted to talk to her. And I want you to know tonight, Jesus knows all about you. And he still wants to talk to you. Isn't that great? It's absolutely fantastic. I know a guy who's written a book. And in it, he talks about belong, believe, behave. Three B's. Three B's. He talks about in the church, we want people to belong. And we want them to believe as we do. And if you belong and you believe as we do, there should be a change in your behavior. Because Jesus is not just somebody that you can dip into on a Sunday. Jesus wants to live with you for the rest of your life, day in, day out. He wants to walk with you. And that means some things we've got to let go of. And this woman didn't have to behave before she could believe and belong. This woman, Jesus invited her to belong so she could learn to believe and then behave. And sometimes we get it wrong in the church. We get it the backwards way on. We want people to behave before they believe and belong. Like, belonging to the church is so wonderful a gift. If you really behave, we'll give it to you. But actually, in the church, and Jesus was planting a new little church in Samaria that day, he went to the person he wanted to be running it. He went to the person he believed was the key to the city. And boy, was she the key to the city. You see, she knew all the men. She went and told all the men. Most women would have gone and told the women. They wouldn't have dared tell the men. But this woman was, shall we say, well known. And she went and told the men. And she said this, "Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did." Now, forgive me if I'm wrong. But Jesus didn't tell her everything she ever did. He gave her a sentence. But actually, it was the summary of her life. You see, her life consisted of one failed relationship after another. And when Jesus said that to her, he said, "You're right, you haven't got a husband, because the guy you're living with, you're not married to, and you've had five husbands." And what Jesus was doing is he was showing her he knew about her failure in relationships. But he was also saying, "But there's room for you in my kingdom." And he goes on to explain it. If you read John chapter 4, we haven't got the time to now go through it all. But he goes in to explain how she can be part of God's kingdom. And do you know what tonight? I just want you to know that you can. I don't want to fool you here. When you become a Christian, you will not stay the same. I don't want you to think for 1 minute that this guy in this church in middle of town is saying to you, "Well, you can do whatever you want. Jesus will forgive you. Anything you've done up to now, Jesus will forgive." But as you learn to walk with him, it necessitates that there are changes in your life. And you know what? They're not difficult. Because as you get to know Jesus, you want to please him. And so it's important that we recognize that it's no harder for us than it was for that woman. And that woman, I believe, the end of that chapter, she becomes the person who is the ringleader of the church in Samaria. And it says many believed in him. Many. What a great story. What a great story. And this woman, her notoriety ended up being really helpful. Because when she had a good story to tell, everybody knew who she was, and they knew about the change in her life. And you know what? I don't believe for 1 minute Jesus wants you to behave before you can be part of the church. I believe you need to belong. You need to be part of this community. But as you learn to believe, behavior will come. But tonight, you've just got to make a choice to believe. And so, my message is simply this. Make a good choice. I listen to a lot of people in my job, and people often say to me, "Well, you know, I've not made some good choices." Well, I want to sort of take hold of them and embrace them and shake them rapidly and say, "Well, make some good ones then." Because, you know, really, that's what we need to do, is we need to make a good choice. I wouldn't ever do that to you. I wouldn't shake you rapidly. But you know what I'm saying is actually the answer is so much simpler than we make it out to be. We think it's really difficult, but actually it's really simple. I've just recently read the book of Joshua again, and you read all the way through his life and gets to the end. And the very last thing that he really does is he gets the whole of the people together. And he says, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. But you choose who you will serve." And tonight, that's what I'm suggesting you do. Choose who you will serve. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? I just want to encourage you right now. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you mean the words that I am saying, then I'm going to ask you to say yes to God. Father, I come to you and I ask you to forgive me for all that's gone on in the past and to give me today a new start with you. Welcome me into your kingdom. And Lord, welcome me into your church. Father, I ask you that you will give me the strength to make a good choice, to live with you and to walk with you from today onwards. In Jesus' name, amen. If tonight you have prayed that prayer or something like it for the first time, then why not come and tell me at the end? Just so that I can pray for you the rest of the week. But you know, be like this woman and tell some of your friends too. Because today you have met a man who has told you everything you ever did. And the rest of your life, he'll tell you. He'll walk with you. He'll know you. And he'll bless you.